Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the podcast about getting older and the legends we make amongst the media, games, and movies we enjoy. I am Kyle. I'm a legend in my own right, because I don't have a unibrow.
Does that make you the legend, or does that make you unlegendary because the unibrow summons the unicorns?
It does. Spoilers. That's a symbolism I didn't put together till just now, and I can't wait to peel that onion back. The voice you heard was the sultry sound of my little gnomish friend, Sean.
First off, that's fucked up. Second off, like, is it because I'm literally the shortest one of all of us and I'm still almost 6 foot tall? Y'all are just fucking giants and freaks, all right? What's up, everybody?
We're also joined by our little impish buddy, Ryan.
Is the impish one the one that's shirtless and, like, somehow surprisingly buff?
Yeah, the angry little child.
You're like, is this a child or a tiny man? And you're kind of confused the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? Right? A real Jennifer Garner situation. Are we talking about the one that
looks like Damien from... From... You know what I'm talking about? The Omen? The little kid that looks like the Omen kid?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. We'll get
with
there.
With the furry underwear?
Yeah.
Yes, and furry no underwear. Idea. Yes.
Yeah, so that's my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Yo.
Today I tasked you gentlemen with watching Ridley Scott's 1985 fantasy film Legend, starring Tom Cruise and Tim Curry, of course. We've also got the great Billy Barty makes an appearance, and a bunch of other people who you may or may not know. Probably not, because there are a lot of British people. I don't know. Did you guys know any of these other people? Ryan, no. You would be more likely. Yeah, so you didn't even know. I have no idea who Mia Sara is. I've never seen her in anything.
There was a couple of people that I IMDb'd because I thought I recognized them from something else, but I didn't. Like that Gump kid, like that leader of the fairies. Like I thought that was Damien from The Omen.
Also,
but definitely not. He's just in a shitload of German movies.
Now, because it's just Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, like, canonically, when this movie... Okay, so 1985, this was made. Forrest Gump could have been this kid's daddy. Yeah.
If they ate shrimp, I'd believe it.
I don't know what they actually eat outside of people.
Oh, no. Oh.
Oh. Wait, what? Never mind.
I'm just watching.
So, I'm going to attempt to give a brief rundown of Legend. And then we're going to go through a ranking of it.
Oh, it'll be quick.
What's that?
I said it'll be quick.
Yeah, it will be quick. Because, I mean, at its base, it's a fantasy movie. But... it's about a princess of something somewhere who's in love with a boy of the forest. And this boy of the forest, in exchange for her love, shows her the magical unicorns, which humans are forbidden to touch. And what does this DB do? By God, she touches it.
Yeah, she's the worst.
And in so touching it, the goblins that the Lord of Darkness has tasked to track the unicorn and kill it are able to get the drop on it and poison one of them, which then allows them to catch up to it and kill it and cut off its horn, which is what the Lord of Darkness needs to bring about eternal night. I got that right.
Yeah,
out
pretty
of
much.
Sight.
Yeah.
I am the light. So the... goblins, the goblin trio take this unicorn horn back to the Lord of Darkness, Not at first. They kind of fuck around with it, which is enjoyable. Because the one thinks he's all tough shit. And then another one tries to stand up to the Lord of Darkness and gets his ass kicked.
I like to call that one the Claptrap Minion. Because his voice is almost identical.
For a reason that we find out. They do have...
Yeah. Go on.
Is it the same actor?
Is no, the Claptrap one has that different sounding voice because he was one of the... He's like a relationship to the little gnome people.
Yeah, he's like one of the fays.
But he got corrupted by the Lord of Darkness. But when he takes his helmet off, later on, it's revealed and it's a twist and he has his arm still. Or he has got that weird little... Yeah, it was great. Anyways... so, Jack then... who is, by the way, Tom Cruise's character. Tom Cruise, I alluded to, and they zoom in on his face at one point, and he just has the biggest unibrow. And I was like, man, 85 was a wild time. This was also pre-tooth job Tom Cruise, too, so.
It was, like, directly in the scene where he's showing Lily the unicorns.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you need a unibrow to summon the unicorns, right? Like, that is the telltale sign, right? Because that thing is a caterpillar crawling across his forehead.
That's why he was friends with them. That's how you get in. You also have to have a uni-something.
You have to have a forehead thing.
It's also wild, like... Yeah. I will continue, but it's crazy, like... In 85, I'm sure hearing the whale sounds for unicorns was mind-blowing. And you're like, what the fuck is that? But it just seems so weird.
What are the categories that we're doing on this?
Character, story, and direction, style, and entertainment value.
Okay, so and direction is somewhere else. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, direction got moved up to combined with story for this ranking system.
Well... That's
anyways, back to our heroes. when the unicorn's horn is cut off, the world is suddenly plunged into a wintry darkness. And Jack and his gnome friends and the Fae must get the unicorn's horns back. They also kidnap the other unicorn to kill to fully seal the ritual, because you got to kill them both. So they go on a harrowing journey to get the hero's armor and sword, and then travel to Mordor, essentially, and fight the Lord of Darkness in his castle, where he reveals his weakness in a speech that the heroes overhear, and it is sunlight, and so they set up this elaborate mirror trap to... bounce it around and take out the Lord of Darkness and reunite the unicorns and bring back the beautiful, blissful daytime. Hero's journey end. Ta-da!
So there's a little bit more in that. That was very good. That was very good. I think you absolutely underplayed Darkness's role in this movie. He's
on a purpose. I figured we'd get to that.
Oh my fucking God, this movie was Darkness Needs a Therapist. Jesus Christ.
So character. Or I guess characters. There probably should be an S on that. I'm going to kick it off. Sean, talk about the characters.
Darkness is a whiny little bitch who needs a therapist and is crying all the time. He's a sad poet boy. Who is just going on and praying to Mother Darkness above to protect me. And Father, what shall I do? And Father, I'm in love out of nowhere. So there's that. He's something. He looks badass. Costume's awesome. Okay. I gotta pull off the Band-Aid on this. This movie, Ridley Scott's original whatever, was 150 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
There's a point in this movie where Sarah went, this was a much longer movie, right? And they cut a bunch of shit out because almost nothing's making sense. And sure enough, I looked it up. I'm like, oh, wow. 2.5 hours down to 1 hour and 29 minutes. I don't know how to fairly treat this movie. Like, characters.
This is every Ridley Scott movie at this point. It seems like Jesus he has a Christ. Theatrical cut and then a director's cut for almost every one of his movies. And I don't know why.
And the thing is, and the director's cut is still over a half an hour shorter than his original cut. His original first cut of this movie was almost 40 minutes longer than the director's cut. Lily, as a character, I don't know. It's like trying to jam pack an entire arc of a character into 3 scenes, you know? And it's like, sure, in some movies you can do that, but it's a rather important character done throughout the whole thing, and she's rather unlikable the entire time. Jack, pretty, you know, he's a pretty good character. We saw all 2 minutes or like 20 seconds of Meg Mucklebones, which is drastically down from every other cut of this movie. Man, I guess I can't really take what's missing and punish it for that, but like, I don't know. This is out of 8. Mm-hmm. I'd give it like a 5. And I think I'm being generous.
I do think you're being generous for your mini rant there, but I'll take the 5.
So Ryan, I'm not going to be a piss poor dude throughout this whole show. I promise.
Oh, that's unfortunate, but I am going to be a piss poor dude. And here, no. I have very complex thoughts on this movie. I have seen this before. This is a rewatch, and I feel like it kind of clicked a bit better this time, but I also kind of agree with most of what Sean said, though maybe I might come at it from a different perspective. I think this movie feels like a giant ass music video. There's really like none of the dialogue or any of the story really matters. The characters are nothing. None of it's there. It's the feelings and the themes and like everything evoked from like the visuals and like the music, if it hits and works for you. I think that's all supposed to come together to like make this thing. And maybe the original director's cut had a lot more words and exposition, and it felt maybe more like a Lord of the Rings and like very like that tropey fantasy where like here we're gonna talk about like this sword and like this thing, and we're just gonna really pontificate on shit that doesn't need to. So it's an interesting movie. That all said, I still, even though I think I appreciate it much more this time around, I still don't think it's a movie for me. I do want more out of the characters. There's nothing here in terms of characters. Tom Cruise is essentially like a nothing protagonist to like insert yourself onto, or you can take it in the way like they're just kind of like the kind of fantastical simplifications of like good and evil. Like everything's so simplified or broadened, however you want to view it, that there's nothing, because maybe they don't, I don't know. I've got so many complex thoughts. I haven't worked through them all because I've just saw this afternoon. But for characters, I'm going to be a little bit negative, but not super poopy. I'm going to say it's a 3. I'm going to say it's a 3. I kind of want to go a little bit higher because we're going to talk about Tim Curry at some point, I know, and he's really good for what he does. But everything around him, and I think the movie knows it because it spends a lot of time with Tim Curry, is kind of just hollow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I joked off air that like I was going to be pulling in some like Cool World stuff. Mm. What I had a problem in Cool World was there was like a lack of any context. There is no background, no explanation for any of this stuff. Now, this movie actually does start with one of them title crawls or whatever that gives you this background story. It explains kind of where you're at and what's going on, who the darkness is, why, what the motivation is to for the unicorn, who Jack and Lily, all of that. So, like, I felt for me that going five still might be a little high, but at least I had context. I knew who they were, and I got to see everything play out. Honestly, this was just a me jumping in here to give a shout out to the title crawl, because I did appreciate that at the beginning in setting up this world, you know, in the, 30 seconds that it took for that crawl to go on. Sorry, I don't want to take up too much time, but
Kyle. That's a Ridley Scott staple, too. He does that in almost all of his movies. Yeah. It's a director trademark, they call that.
It's his feet. Nothing gets him going harder than exposition in a scrolling format.
Can I let him know? Can I write him a letter saying how much I like Star Wars?
That's on... I think Ridley Scott does that.
Just kidding, I don't care.
Because... here's the thing. I like Ridley Scott, but he's like a slightly higher class Michael Bay almost. The man has a vision, but he lives for the set piece. Which I think, like,
and I'm okay
it's
with
not
that.
Bad per se. It's just it's its own thing. Which is crazy because I mean he did make. Arguably some of the most influential sci-fi flicks too, which are incredibly Alien. And Blade Runner,
mm-hmm.
which is like, they are fucking genre defining, but
Gladiator
so much
and
more
a bunch of
his
war epics too.
Yeah. Ugh. But like,
I love
it's great. Like
the war genre is pretty remarkable.
And I mean, he did
Troy.
Gladiator.
He did Kingdom of Heaven. He did Gladiator 1-2.
He does
The Last Duel.
He does spectacle very well. And the man has an eye for detail, for world building in of itself. And I think
he's a historian. He loves
in
history.
This sense, the characters, I 100% agree with both of you that they are bland and they are incredibly bland. But I think it's also not so much bland, more it's just. It's incredibly generic. Like, mm-hmm. this fantasy is so very base on all levels. And it is cramming a whole lot, even into the hour and a half. I have seen both the director's cut. It's a rare instance. I kind of don't think the director's cut is the better version. So
I had a feeling that might be mm-hmm. the case. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I felt what we had here was going a bit long. It's like, I get mm-hmm. it. I get it. Mm-hmm. We can go to the next scene for some of these.
And
things.
I don't, it, you know, I'm sure, honestly, a large part of this is nostalgia because I remember coming across this just randomly on the TV and I got hooked seeing Tim Curry. I didn't even know that was Tim Curry for years till, like, you know, you get access to the internet later. And I was like, what? That's fucking Tim Curry? Who, by the way, is absolutely mowing down on every scene in this movie. And here's the thing. I still come to this movie for Tim Curry. He is the character in this. And for me, the Lord of Darkness elevates this movie to levels beyond what it can be. And I'm halfway torn because I almost feel they do show him too much, but he's so goddamn cool and so fucking entertaining that he carries the majority of the movie, which is also an insane thing to think. And say, because I think Tom Cruise is a fucking awesome actor. And almost everything that guy does is enjoyable to watch. He's really not in this. He is incredibly wooden and stilted as Jack. Like, there's no mystique to Jack. But he plays, like you said, it's just very generic. But I got to give a big bump to it's all about Tim Curry for me, boys. I'm going... a 6 based on Lord of Darkness alone.
666. You had to. It was predestined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of that,
what's that lead us in?
Omen. Damien. Omen. Fuck. Sorry.
Gump. What's this? What'd you say, what's this Sean? Leading us into?
Story and direction. So here's where you guys could really go down.
Well, can I start off?
Yeah, of course.
I will say this may come as a surprise to you guys, but it is surprising to hear that this is the version of the movie that you prefer, because while watching this and looking that up, you know, everybody's like, watch the directors. Mm-hmm. And even by the end of the movie, like, you said, like, you made it, they made it to Mordor, blah, blah, blah. And I hate Lord of the Rings, right? Give me the 150-minute cut of this movie. I want to watch the director's cut. I want to watch the longer version of this movie.
Wow.
So that, because, like, this movie, like, I should like it. Like, I want to like it. I want to like the characters. I want these hollow, stiff, just bland characters to be fleshed out in the way that they were probably meant to have been, but are now rendered down to these bland versions of themselves because an hour plus of the movie was cut out. You know, like, I don't want to all of a sudden be like, wait, why has he got a crush on her now for no fucking reason? Like, this story twist that just came out of nowhere. Like, absolutely nowhere. There were multiple times during this movie where I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's a new story point out of nowhere, and they're acting as if it's not new. And I would be okay with it if I got to see all of the stuff that was in there. What's up?
So I will tell you, one of the things that the director's cut does add is more context in the fact that almost all of the characters, and you do get it the most with the Lily still in this cut, but almost every character is based on one of the sins. And Lily's, of course, is greed. Gump is anger, and Jack has lust because he lusts for Lily and also is tempted by the fairy girl. I can't remember her name, but it's very weird.
Uwana?
It starts with a... What is it?
Uwana.
Uwana? Is that it? Uwana. I thought it was like Uda. Yep.
It's O-O-N-A.
Una, yeah. But yeah, that is like more of what you get in the director's cut is... More of that, like, what Sign they represent. But I think that's where it is with Lily. Like, she's susceptible to corruption and greed because of, you know, that's why she's tempted to him and why he tries to corrupt her.
Well, I guess that's, okay, so there's that. But also you have this whole little monologue with... Well, I guess it's not a monologue because his father, Darkness, speaks back to him. But he's like, I'm in love. What do I do to get this girl? You've got to trick her. You've got to get her into your clutches. However, and it's like, okay, cool. This would be awesome if it didn't just come out of nowhere right now. I think it's so hard to judge this movie because I can only go off of what I saw and not what I wanted to see, which is all of the stuff actually being put out there. But this is story and direction.
That complicates it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that complicates it. Because also, where's sound direction? Is that in direction? Because the sound mixing in this movie's dog shit.
It's all just ADR. It's 85 yeah. ADR.
It was terrible. It was... absolutely horrendous. It almost looked like they were going out of their way to not shoot people's mouths while they were talking because ADR. Their mouths almost never lined up with the words. Everybody has one static sound, which is basically yelling. It was horrendous. Man, that was horrendous. So story that was okay, but I wanted more of. Okay, let's give that a 3. Sound direction, that's getting a big ol' zero. And then direction, though, like director, like it's not Ridley Scott's fault that a studio butchered an hour out of this because they didn't think it would capture the attention span of a young kid. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Just so Ryan, not
help me out.
I am devil's advocating here. I 100% agree with you. But would a good director know how to work within the studio system to get his movie made, theoretically?
Maybe.
I don't know. Make it cheaper, maybe do whatever. But because Ridley Scott has to have everything look a certain way and things done a certain way, the price goes up. So then, like, the studio gets more say. The more expensive your movie, the more the studio has a vice on them nuts. Sorry.
I will say one part of that problem isn't, unfortunately, Ridley Scott's fault, but he had to deal with the repercussions in that the studio they were filming in burned to the ground halfway through filming. Delayed production added so much cost to everything. And so that's why so many things at some points feel cheapened or rushed, because they almost literally were, because they lost everything in a fire. So that's an unfortunate part of the movie direction, too. Like, what could have been improved or better had that not befallen them?
I just, and we'll get back to you, Sean. I'm sorry that we're interrupting.
Yeah, no.
But I would like not have been able to tell that there was like a fire that consumed a bunch of stuff. Like, when in terms of the sets, the production design, all of that, I think it's still flawless. Even this butchered theatrical cut version, I think it looks really good. You can't tell visually there's anything wrong behind the scenes. At least that's my opinion.
Perhaps the set that got destroyed was where Darkness was supposed to go when he just floated off into space for no reason.
Yeah, that one was a weird choice. But I don't know how much is that. Is that like, I don't have a good mind for like, aren't all 80s movies kind of like, they have bad shit like that, like, and I can't remember, and like, I don't have that good context anymore. It's all a wash. And I did
see. My problem is that like, typically when I don't like a movie, I just don't like a movie. But like, I'm frustrated because I didn't like the movie, but I so badly want to.
Yeah.
You know, so 3. I'm gonna get off my soapbox and give it a 3.
Okay.
Ryan, what about you?
Whew. All right, so I'm gonna have to, just for the sake of my own sanity, split this up into a 4 and 4. 4 for story and 4 for direction. And it's the only way my dumb little pea monkey brain can handle it.
You're so smart.
Or it's cheating and it's like some bullshit answer. No, I don't know.
That's smart.
But I'm going to do it. story, I think the story is all over the place. I think it's simplistic and, in my opinion, maybe to a fault. I think what's there works enough. But at whatever, 80-something minutes, I still felt like some of this could be trimmed for what they had on offer with the story. I was digging a lot of the production and other stuff, which we'll get to in a minute. But for the story, I'd say that's a 1 out of 4. I'm going to go slightly lower than average. For direction, I think Ridley Scott's a really great director. I won't beat around the bush. I think there's value in almost anything he puts out, even if the story's garbage, even if there are cringe-ass dialogue lines like in Napoleon. There's some dumb shit in a lot of his movies. That's another war movie, by the way, was Napoleon. Great Joaquin Phoenix performance. Not a lot else. I think the visuals are some of the most creative I've seen for fantasy. Tim Curry alone's great. I love the opening and some of the backdrops they do. Like, the painted actual backdrops are gorgeous. I think there's some really good stuff. I am a person who is bored by fantasy 99% of the time because it's a bunch of cheap shit in the forest, like walking around with like low budge costumes and like some low Ren Faire energy. And I think honestly, this movie avoids a lot of that. It's not that. They shoot in a forest and it doesn't look like just a generic forest. It looks like a forest they made on a set somewhere, but it strikes me as like, oh, they tried. There is actual shit here. And for that, for the vision that's here, like I said, I think for me, this works as like kind of like a really long music video. I just wish it was maybe shortened a little bit. Like, I think this would be a great short video, like a 30-minute short by Ridley Scott like this, I think works. Because I think there's something that works in the simplicity of it all. I think there's just too much if they're leaning into the simplicity of it. They either need a lot more dialogue or a lot less of everything else. They're in a weird spot. So, I don't know. I'm more positive on the direction overall. I'll go with 3. So all in all, that's 4 then out of 8. Kyle, I'm sorry to ramble so fucking long. What about you?
You guys are fine. really, I'm going to come out of the gate with my number first, and then we'll talk about it more. But I'm also going 4. Because overall, I've liked this movie. My nostalgia for it is centered on Tim Curry as the Lord of Darkness. It's one of my most favorite things in movie ever. That said, I fully admit the story is very weak. Directing-wise, I do have to give to Ridley Scott, because I think it's at least competent. And when I say that, I mean it's easy to follow. Like, it makes sense. The issues are that, like, it's like jumbled and things happen just to happen, which is not great movie making or story watching. They just sort of float along as pushed by the wind. And one of the things that is most jarring to me, there's a point, it's so silly and I hate it. And it really made me mad in this one. And I knocked a point off directing for it. Just because they are so fucking angry at Jack that he let Lily touch a unicorn and they're screaming at him. And then he says she wants to get married and they flip and they want to fucking take shots and celebrate. And it's so weird. Mm-hmm. And just like all of that, like it just, those little things happen throughout the movie. And I think it's just, it was a struggling production and you can see it through most of it. But overall, like, it's got some really cool shit too. And like I said, Ridley Scott is a higher class Michael Bay. There is some fucking wild shit happening in this movie. The directions and the fact that he pulled off this Tim Curry suit alone gives him a point that I took off for that other shit. So overall, a 4, because I think it does lack very much in the story. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that stressed about us going on and on because we're one less person and we're, you know, this is yeah. really fleshing this out. I do want to, touching on something that Ryan said, like, typically I don't really like fantasy stuff. It's all so samey all the time, except for I really enjoy when it almost has a, I don't know, Dark Crystal-ish, you know, look to it. And attention to detail and creative characters. And I think Darkness was so incredibly well done in here. I think I just kind of question where, like, what they chose to cut some places. It's like, you keep, towards the end of the movie, you keep, Juana's going down these caverns to go tell the dude to put the mirrors on the sun, right? But she flies down the same cave like 6 times. It's like, you're the slowest fairy in the world. Maybe cut some of those out and go back to that Meg scene where it's very clear that 4 minutes was cut out of this. He cuts off Meg's head and the shield he was just holding is against a tree over there. Like, the attention to detail in some things but not others was just really head-scratching to me when it comes to some of these decisions that were made, when it was all said and done.
Why don't you exasperate and extrapolate on that and talk about the style of this movie, Sean?
I think the style of this movie was fucking awesome. I loved the settings. I loved the For the most part, I love the character design that was put into this. For the most part, like, I even enjoyed the jailers slash butchers, whatever. But those were the most... those felt like the most lackadaisical creature designs. It was wearing, like, I don't know. It's like watching dodgeball and watching them all come in their gimp suits, except for it had elf ears. You know, somebody strap a daddy necklace on this guy and he's going to carve you up. But man, that opening scene, like the representation of hell, and it was really cool. It was a little bit puzzling when all of a sudden it was snowing, but okay, cool. Kind of halfway to darkness and overtaking the world, whatever. The different settings that you were in, even if it was just jumbled and cut into there, pretty awesome. I am curious about, because I imagine music fits into this as well, I wonder how the other versions are, because this is the only one where it's composed all by Tangerine Dream, whereas mm-hmm. the other mm-hmm. one, can somebody else help me out here?
I don't know the composer's name.
I'm not sure.
I will say, yeah. And again, to interject, because I have seen both, and this could still be just nostalgia, I really like the Tangerine Dream version myself. Yeah. A lot of people don't. A lot of people prefer it, but I wonder if they're just going along because they want to say it. I don't know.
Yeah. Ryan, no idea.
No. No. Spoiler for my opinion, but no.
I mean, it was okay. It was very 80s. It was very... Mm-hmm. It was very 80s. It was very 80s in also a, like, this movie was made for my mom or for my older sister. Like, I got that a lot while watching this movie, and I do not mean that in any disrespect.
It's like, all the glitter.
I feel it's the glitter.
Is it? I was going to ask, what do you mean by that? It sounds funny. And
okay.
Then you said, so I think, disrespect, and now I'm confused.
Well... okay, so while I could sit there, I love Willow. Okay. I feel like that's something I'd be watching as a kid, which I did. I feel like this is something my sister would have been watching when we were kids. You know, it's a lot of the glitter. It's a lot of the, I feel like the darkness was very effeminate as a bad guy. A lot of this movie really gives that sort of vibe. And again, that is with no disrespect. I want to see more of it. I want to see this in its true vision because it felt so different from what I would have expected seeing such a badass looking devil for him to just be, like I said earlier, sad boy, poetic sad boy, just trying to get his darkness back. You know what I'm saying? Style, tone, I will give this a 6. Much more positive.
Brian?
I am going to harken back to the few times that Sean has brought up Cool World, because no shit, when I was watching this movie, I thought of Cool World several times, in which I was like, I don't think this works. I think what I am being shown right now does not work. But goddamn, if I am just not, like, blown away by, like, the effort and, like, the swings here. And if we're talking style, I think that's where this movie really shines through. I think Ridley Scott here, and honestly, Ridley Scott in a lot of his things, he is a director who really has an idea. And this leans into the Michael Bay comment that Kyle said. But he's a director who really knows how he wants a story to be told, but does not have ideas about the story itself, nor does he care. He just really knows how to present it. And style is, for me, it would have been an 8. But then you brought up Tangerine Dream, and I remembered, I fucking do not like this. I don't gel with the soundtrack at all. I don't think this... very light Anya-esque stuff works at all for most of this. This does not work for me. I would be so interested in to hear like what the other soundtrack they went with was. This one doesn't work. So for that, it drops down to a 7. But this would have been perfect if like that sound really clicked for me. And Sean's right, too. The sound mixing is all over the place. The sound editing's... so that does maybe infringe on the style more, but I think seven's good.
Well, I think shocking neither of you and probably the listeners either. On this one, I'm going full 8. I almost want to give this a 9 just for fucking Tim Curry.
You should.
Yeah, I am. Honestly, and also just based style, this is one of the most stylistic fucking movies ever. Like, they commit to the bit in every fucking regard. They pull no punch. That, like, I love that Tom Cruise as the magical fairy man gets more glittery throughout the movie as he gets more like confident and powerful. And I think his fucking that armor that he gets is cool. I have no idea where the fuck they know where it is, where it comes from.
Also, where are the pants?
Yeah, you don't need them. It's very Link, Legend of Zelda.
I think it's really odd.
He manspreads the whole time. You know it goes.
Oh yeah, that one point he like some... crouches and just flashes gooch to the camera, and I was like, hell yeah, Tom. It was great.
But yeah, different reactions.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, dude, for fucking real, Tim Curry just... I mean, the costuming is the most ridiculous thing still I've ever seen. The voice modulation they're doing to him is fucking perfect. Like, when he hits those ridiculous laughs and they're just that deep bellow, dude, I was fucking cracking up. I buy fully into it. Every other part of it just bleeds surrealism. I love that Una's eyes have that weird blue that don't look natural at all, but it just stands out. Her hair is so crazy how it's also wispy like fairy. Like, there's so much attention to the detail that it does make you, like, it does ding in the story because, like, I want to know why these things are this way. They obviously have a reason why. You want to know the lore. It scratches that itch that we never get to scratch. But yeah, style-wise, man, this thing is fucking slick. Beautiful movie, dude. When he fucking walks out of the mirror and is just towering, like, in the fucking hooves, God damn, dude. How that's like, it's still so impressive to me today.
It's the money shot.
It's so fucking cool, man. It is so fucking cool. I love how even when they show him at the start, he's so blacked out and just the eyes and his nails glow that it like, you can tell there's something there, but
yeah,
dude, it's nothing compared to when he fucking walks out. Like, Jesus Christ, it's so fucking cool, man. I love the subtle corruption of her doing like the dance with this evil gown that suddenly she's within. I know Sean disagrees with like the rapid like corruption of her. I think it's just for the simplistic movie. It works, and I like the way that they show it, and it just hits right there, and she's in. So
it's not the rapid corruption of her. I don't mind that. I think that was fine. The getting from point A to where that is even something that is able to progress from there is what I don't like. The whole out of nowhere, he's infatuated with her, he must have her, that I don't like that. Past that, once he's in that courting thing and that sweet dance she's doing with her clothes that then like transforms into her, sick as fuck. That was so sick.
Gave me that Annihilation vibes.
Yes, she
dances,
dude.
With her
her
weird oily alien counterpart. Because I love that it was like, again, there's glitter everywhere. I totally understand what Sean is saying, that this is like the fantasy for his sister. Because it's like trolls and that shit. Like, but I don't know. It
feels darker than that though to me, and that's why I'm maybe a little confused, because it still feels like, well, maybe like if you have like a cool sister or like a real goth sister.
Your sister that
like
also likes Labyrinth.
It's not like Charmed or something like that, or I don't know anything very glittery.
As a child, I grew up Lisa with the Frank. Only people that I knew that watched Labyrinth were the women in my life. So like,
I fucking love Labyrinth too.
So that's just coming movie, from so. My life experience. Do you know who did the original music for this?
Did you look it up?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's Jerry Goldsmith, who did music for Gremlins, Gremlins 2, the Star Trek's Rambo, the Omens.
I bet this had a fun fucking soundtrack. Or
Total Recall, Planet of the Apes from 68, Poltergeist. Like, he has so... Rudy. He was the music guy for Rudy.
Rudy.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember any music from Rudy.
I don't either. That's why it's funny to me. Like, that's the one that...
I mean, I'm scrolling, and it was the one that
everything else is there. Everything else, small like, soldiers.
Yeah. Really, oh yeah, yeah.
I don't remember Rudy.
Wait, Rudy? You're telling me this guy did Rudy? Damn!
I need to see this. Listen, this is going right to hit a small percentage
of our listener base. Okay, people won't stop talking about sports movies.
I'm going 9, fellas. And then entertainment value, which is, I guess, maybe sort of also in style. But anyways, Shawnee boy, take us home.
Man, this is why I have such a hard time differentiating between all of these categories, because all of them kind of tie in and affect other categories. Mm-hmm. So, like, trying to separate those is tough. I'll say it. The only time that I looked at my phone was to look up stuff for this movie. It wasn't out of boredom. It wasn't to doom scroll. It wasn't because I felt like I was locked in place. And maybe this sounds counter to everything that I've said prior. I really did. Okay, I said I did not like this movie, but I wanted to like this movie. I still enjoyed it. I didn't it's just frustrating because I know it could have been so much better, you know? But it's a cool 129. I enjoyed it. Enough, not enough to go a full-blown 8 or give it a bonus point, but I'd give this movie a strong 5. Give it a strong 5.
So Ryan, what about you, buddy?
Spirit there.
I remembered the end of the movie and like how I thought it was stupid, so.
I feel like I have talked and rambled a lot, so I will not pontificate too much here. I don't think I need to. Even at the 80-ish minutes, this felt long to me. I was not as entertained, and maybe because it's like a repeat viewing and I kind of knew going into things what to expect. I think the style's there. I think there's a lot to appreciate, but not having any character to latch onto or like really any good dialogue. And here's another thing. I think outside of Tim Curry, I don't think there's a good actor here. None of the lines feel good or natural or right. Nothing feels like particularly well written. I had a lot of fun with Tim Curry's effeminate devil. I think he's so much fun. I'd take a whole fucking movie of him. Everybody else feels so unnatural to me. I don't care about so many of them. It is all about the style. And I will be honest, 60-ish minutes in, I was kind of getting a little tired of it because the style was no longer like enough to carry me. It is not a bad movie by far. So I'm going straight down the middle. 4.
4?
Yeah.
Word.
All right, we got a 4 and a 5. I don't think surprising either of you again. I'm higher. I'm not perfect on this one, but I come in at a 7 because I do still enjoy the hell out of this movie. As generic and silly as it is, I like those parts because it's funny how ridiculous they are at a degree. The ADR is funny and just how over the top they don't even try to mask it, but that's also just an 80s thing in general. Not in every movie, and a lot of people do it better. But again, man, there's massive bumps for Lord of Darkness, Tim Curry, in this for me, man. It just hits on every level. I remember, like, probably the first time I saw this on TV and when he walked on, I'm sure my eyes were, like, wide. My mouth was like, what is this? How? What? Wow. So, yeah, Entertainment 7 knocks it out of the park. Still to this day, I was watching it laughing. When fucking Tim Curry just does these laughs or gives these over the top monologues of just dripping with venom and sass, and goddamn,
he's a sassy
beautiful
boy.
Stuff. So yeah, I think those are our overall scores if we want to calculate that up, and then we can give our funny, silly Kyle thing that he has to do every time and annoy you guys with. So
you don't annoy me. I love arbitrary shit.
Same.
So did you guys look up what the other, oh, you know what the other ending is, right? Where they just don't.
No, please inform
together.
Me. I don't know.
Yeah.
They go their separate ways.
And the director's cut. Well, in the director's cut, it's implied that most of it was a dream Lily was having. And then she realizes that she can't live that life with Jack. So she goes to live her full noble life, but they promise to stay friends.
Yep.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So you remember in the beginning
really
of the movie?
Scott's vision.
When she lays down in the grass in front of the tree, and I thought to myself, that's going to come in later in this movie. And then she wakes up there at the end. I was like, oh, snap. Ugh. Yeah, I want to see the other version.
What did our score average out to, Ryan? Did you math?
Yeah, I'll let you know. Surprising nobody, I was in at the bottom with 18 out of 32. Sean was next up, 19 out of 32. Kyle, highest, 26 out of 32, and that's a total of 63 out of 96 possible points.
That's shocking, wow. Because that's very similar still with the adjusted weighting of the scoring system we have. The IMDb rating is 6.3%, so that's fucking
insane,
on the
dude.
Money. I made the calculations correct.
Also, we all picked the right numbers. Yeah. We could have went differently.
It could have been way different.
Style one, way too much lighting.
It's well done. That's fucking awesome.
I'm looking
awesome,
up
boys.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
I want to see
RT.
I want to see if we're closer to critic or audience. I doubt it's even on here.
My guess would be audience.
Yeah.
Closer to audience.
That's
all right,
my
legend.
Guess.
Here
yeah.
we go. All right. I found it. We are, I don't know, man. I guess technically we're closer to audience. Critically, it is at a 41%. Audience wise, it is at a 73%. So
wow.
closer
okay.
to audience, but
yeah.
I figured the audience would be higher. I think, like me, people who like this movie like this movie.
Man,
it's definitely, I think, a love hate thing, too. Well, maybe not. Yeah. You guys overall enjoyed it, but
yeah.
Yeah. I would love a director's cut that is 42 minutes and like just
the
on
opposite
the
way of what Rudy Scott. Just another small fun fact. The direct movie after this one that Tom Cruise did was working with Ridley Scott's brother Tony on Top Gun.
Oh, no way.
Crazy, man. Right?
It is.
It's wild how this isn't that far behind Top Gun. When was Top Gun? 88, 89?
I think 88.
Was it 88?
1986.
I was going to say, I thought it was 86. It's literally the very next year.
How the fuck did Tom Cruise grow up that much in 1 year? Because he looks like a boy.
He's a stick in this movie and legend. Very stick.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also, I don't know what that Meg thing was talking about. There is no meat on this little boy. There is no meat. I want to eat you up. You're so meaty. You're so fat.
Oh, yeah. You're the hag. The sea hag. Another great character design that very gets underutilized.
Yeah.
It is like a throwaway scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does not need to be there.
Nope. They had...
When it's said and done, it doesn't need to.
More... Had they gone this way, they had a lot more of those little side quests planned, and they didn't shoot any of them because they just thought it'd be better to get right to the story, which is the way Ryan would like to go. But I would have loved to have seen him fight more weird little things, just because I think the highlight of this movie overall is that character creature design. I would like to have seen them go more nuts.
You got to go one way or the other. If you're going to go that way, then you go full that way and give me like the Green Knight where you're getting like something weird like every 20 minutes.
Little
like,
vignettes. Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Green Knight
That's
was
it.
Wild.
Yep.
Green Knight was
like,
wild.
Like, or like Jason and the Argonauts, or like the Iliad, mm-hmm. where like mm-hmm. there are these tests you have to go yeah. through. That is the character journey. Yeah. That would have been awesome had we had that. But again, I think budget things came into more of the play. And
also there's 19 other interconnected stories going on in this movie.
Pick a fucking lane.
So Nathan Lane. Let's give our unique voting and then we'll shut the fuck up and get out of here. How about Sean goes to Ryan, Ryan to me to Sean?
Sure.
Work. Sick. All right, Ryan. Ryan, on a scale. Okay. Picture this. Picture your darkness, okay? Your darkness, and all of a sudden you're madly in love and you're seducing this chick that accidentally murderized a unicorn, right? And then all of a sudden she's like, she's full send. She's on board and she's
proper goth. Okay. I get it.
Yes, she got the eyeshadow coming down, reverse yeah. Reverse wings going down. It was actually pretty sick. But okay, you're like, hey, you're gonna stay, you're gonna love me. And she says to you, Ryan, yeah, on one condition, I get to kill the thing. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 13, crazed, orgasmic red rocket demon faces. How many orgasmic demon faces are you going to give her in reaction to that? Because that shit was wild.
The lip curls.
She was like,
I love it. I love that that's where that went.
It's a journey. We got there. I almost took a side quest, but I didn't.
I thought you might have. I think... Yeah, I'll probably be pretty close to where we ended up in the scores. I am kind of closer to the middle, but I will lean slightly more positive because I really do love the style here. I think the style makes this movie. I think it is very visually different than so many fantasy movies. And for that alone, like, it deserves merits. I will be 7 out of 13 red orgasmic screaming faces in my darkness.
Red rocket demon faces.
Red rocket demon faces. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh my god. Did you guys catch the part where Jack and Darkness were fighting and Darkness swung at him and his shirt rides up and you just see where the red ends and his white ass crack begins?
No. No. But I...
Okay, I will send it to you because...
There was a time during the sword fight, you can see like the stunt man, like the mask they have for him when he's fighting is just like one of those, like at the end of summer camp where it's just like the face is in the, that, oh my but you God. Can, they didn't even put red around the stunt man's eyes and like, they don't glue it onto it. It's just very obvious. And I was like, oh man.
Oh, I saw it and I was like, I need to rewind this. Did you just see that? And so I took a video. I just sent it in this chat. Feel free to watch it at any point. But, oh, yeah, right. It's there.
Oh, nice.
But, I'm sure I know the exact sword swing. It's when, like, Jack's against a pillar and he yep. swings. And he misses. It's yep. so obvious that he misses, too. But
oh, yeah.
And then, that 1985 boom. Fight choreography, we took what we got, fellas. We get what we Curry get. We don't throw crack. A fit.
Man, we get better now and we still throw fits. We don't deserve yeah. good things. As we a don't. Human race, we just don't deserve good things.
Well, we're getting it now.
Yep. So, Kyle.
Yeah,
you're a fucking demon. You're a fucking yeah. demon. And you're feeling yourself. You're feeling real hot. So, you go to the demon salon. Get them nails did. Nice and neon glowy. But, man, it's like $20 per nail. It's pricey. Because you want them to glow. Your darkness. You swallow mm-hmm. that light, so you gotta
make slay, them bitch.
Pop, slay. That's right. So out of the 10 nails that you can do on your hands, how many are you gonna splurge on?
So after my rating, the
number one, thank you for making it easy. That's a nice solid 10.
If you had more fingers,
I love the movie. I've gone over. I think overall, I'm gonna I can't. I'm not going to do the thumbs. They're going to get cut out. So I'm going to do 8.
Okay.
Eight out of 10. I do still really enjoy this movie, and I have a blast every time I watch it. But again, do I need to show off the legend figurine again?
The Hunter. Yes. You might have to after for the video.
I will.
For the video launchers.
But yeah, 8 out of 10. Shawnee boy.
Yo.
Say you are a young 80s heartthrob in a vest that's made out of flattened soda bottle tops, because that's what his armor is. Did you guys know that?
No, but they did a good job.
Yep, it's just bottle caps that they hammered flat. That's all that those were. But they look so fucking cool.
They look really good. Damn, I love they were shit stripped like that. Of any paint. Mm-hmm.
I think they'd flipped them over, so it was like the side that would go on the bottle, the brass side. That's why it's so shiny. It's just so simple. But yeah, you're this guy, young heartthrob from the 80s with your sweet ass armor like Link, because you're not wearing pants. And you need to bounce sunlight onto the Lord of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it with these giant plates that are also mirrors on a scale of 1 to 20 of these mirrors. How many are you setting up to perfectly bounce sunlight onto the Lord of Darkness?
This was going to be my rating.
That one,
it was mine. But then I was like, you know what? Somebody else is gonna need this. I'm gonna go with Boner Boy. So on a scale,
we swapped. I would have gone Boner Boy for sure.
Man. Scale of up to 20 mirror shield things, serving platters. I will give this movie I'll give it a 13.
Okay.
I'll give it a 13. It's, you know, I like, the reason why I like the arbitrary one is we can go through these ratings all day long and see if it matches up with IMDb or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's about my experience, right?
It's about your vibes, baby.
Yeah, and if I can give it some arbitrary number to equate it to how I enjoyed it, yeah, I'll go with that. It's above halfway there. It's something that I'm not upset that I watched. I'm glad that I watched it. It was a good time. Could have been way better. Could have been way worse. Mm-hmm. But I'd recommend, if you haven't seen it, it is on the Internet Archive. You can just watch it for free. Go and watch it, folks.
Would have been better.
Yeah. So, pro tip, guys. Check the Internet Archive for movies that you want to watch, especially if they're older.
Well, thank you for that tip. And before you take us out, Shawnee, I just one thing to perfectly, I think, encapsulate what Ryan says, when like some parts of this movie still feel long. A perfect representation is that fucking plate scene, dude. How many times do I have to see you fucking pick them up and throw them down and throw them over to another fucking pile? I get the gist in the first fucking showing of it, but they need to pad out this movie a bit. And
they didn't need to, though.
Encapsulates. No, but when they cut so much other shit out to get that.
Well, that's what I'm talking, is that like there was so much shit that they should have left in and cut out crap like this, or wanna flying down the same tunnel 20 times. Stupid. Stupid.
Speaking of stupid,
Kyle, tell our listeners next where they can listen
to our stupid shit. Yeah.
Well, first off, so I'm gonna go on and talk about what my next movie is, and while I do that, can you grab your Legend Doll action figure for
it's an
all
action
of
figure,
the...
thank you.
Yeah. This isn't just my sister's movie. All right.
So glad we figured out where Kyle was going, because I thought he was introducing your pick with speaking of something stupid.
No, he always skips asking what my next pick is. Always. I do. Every time. And so I am just shoehorning it in here.
Get it in there.
Shoehorn.
So just shove it. I'm going to announce this to everybody on here. I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that my next thing was probably going to be a game. Turns out, not enough time to really get this in there. Not next week's pick, but the following one, we're going to be doing Portal. So that is two picks from now. Next week's pick, though, is another movie that I have talked about a couple of weeks ago, and that was the incredible Burt Wonderstone. I wanted to get this in where we watch something about magic, where we can talk about our childhood and if we were into magic, if we had magic kits, whatever, magic's impact on our life. So, 2013's Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, and also it's got Jim Carrey in there, the incredible Burt Wonderstone. But if you guys enjoyed what you listened to here today, you can hop right on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/experiencegrind, where you can get some bonus audio, some bonus episodes, where just last week we talked about the worst kids that we knew. If you feel like you missed out on that, go back and listen. It's only $1. Check out all of those episodes. And if you want to figure out where else you can check us, just check out the show notes. It's got a link to our Discord, our Facebook, all of that nonsense in there. But the Discord is really where it's at. We have a lot of fun in there. There's a lot of brackets going on, a lot of food stuff, lots of pets being shared around. And there's a video game section where if you're one of our Patreon members, you'll get some content related to that later this week. So anyways, Ryan, you are on video. I am isolating that. And I'm going to shop some stuff in there, all right?
Feel free.
Sick. Kyle, take us out, bud.
Listeners, why don't you go unicorn yourself?